And now, the Sandhills' number one morning show, Mornings with the Leader Man, here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB, and heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
You know what today is?
Today is National Promposal Day.
Oh my God, are you asking me to the prom?
It's that time of year again where teens pull out all the stops to pop the question, will you go to prom with me?
This is a surprise promposal.
So who are you going to prom with?
National Promposal Day.
A lot of people have been going the promposal route.
So I know my boyfriend is asking me to prom.
It's National Promposal Day.
It's showtime, baby.
Catching up in a neon light. Didn't know till we walked in, it was karaoke night. She was in a circle of girls chasing a shot with a line. She was laughing, they were daring her to get on the mic. California, maybe she'd fall for a boy from South Georgia. She's got the bar in the palm of her hand, and she's a 90s country fan like I am. Hey, I got a Chevy, she can flip a quarter. I'd drive her anywhere from here to California when this song is over. I gotta find her, cause she had me at Heads, Carolina.
Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Welcome back to our number two of Mornings with the Leader Man. My name is Brad LaDronca, filling in for Steve the Leader Man this morning. Alongside me, as always, is Mr. Steve Woodward. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Brad. Good morning, Leader Man. Good morning, everybody, on this tumultuous Tuesday here in the Sandhills.
Weather for us today right here in the Sand Hills. You're looking at a high of 74 degrees under sunny skies. Absolute beautiful day out there. Lows this evening going to dip down to 45 degrees. No chances of rain in the forecast until we get to the weekend. Saturday looks like it's starting to creep up a little bit. Sunday is going to be probably the worst day of the weekend when it comes to that. But highs are going to be in the 70s throughout the week. Currently outside right now, it is 41 degrees under clear skies. Winds are coming out of the north at 6 miles per hour. Dew point is 33 degrees with humidity at 72%. A little bit of Cole Swindell for us here this morning in the 8:30 hour. Gotta love it. Just cutting edge. Now, that's an old song, but I like a little bit of old school country every now and then.
Absolutely.
I say old school. It's not that old, but, you know.
Well, neither are you.
My birthday's actually tomorrow, Steve.
Really?
Did you even know that?
All right. Well, we'll discuss the party afterwards.
Yeah, right, right. All right, I'm going to kick it over to you, Steve, because we do have a very special guest in the studio with us. Why don't you go ahead and introduce her?
All right. Thank you, Brad. We do have a guest this morning here in studio. Good morning, Gina.
Good morning, Steve.
Gina has come in this morning. She represents a group of Moore County citizens with ties to the military community, primarily the Bragg military community over in Cumberland County. And like many of us, since January 28th, Gina and her group and citizens around the region have been concerned about the story of Clint Bunnell. Since January 28th, Clint Bunnell, retired Green Beret, U.S. Army Special Forces, has been essentially missing. There have been various media reports attendant to his story, although not very many. There has been very little in the way of updates from the Cumberland County Sheriff's Department. There has been a couple of interviews with Clint's sister, Stephanie, who actually lives in Texas, who has visited the region a couple of times, who launched a GoFundMe outreach pretty early on, which has now raised about $16,000, which will eventually be used to potentially further this investigation outside of the sheriff's department, if necessary. She has also put out a reward for information that could lead to answers about what happened to her brother. So that's sort of the backdrop. I believe a couple of weeks ago we had the breakthrough that a body was found in proximity to Clint Bunnell's home in Fayetteville. To date, that discovery has led to no other revelations, however, and I believe that the status right now is that DNA testing is underway, and that is what is the next sort of piece of this puzzle. Gina, can you tell us a little bit about the Facebook page that that you all have created and launched to further broaden community awareness about this story?
Real quick, I'm going to interrupt here real quick just because I happen to just jump on WRAL, and there is actually, within the last 30 minutes, an article that's been posted on WRAL concerning this whole story.
Okay.
Concerning 911 call of a body found in Cumberland County Pond.
Right.
So it is now being picked up on WRAL.
But they're talking about the body that was found 2 weeks ago.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. But they do mention at the same time that they are searching nearby property belonging to Clint. So it is starting to make, you know, news in the area here. But I just wanted to break in on that because it looks like it just literally broke within the last 30 minutes on WRAL.
Not that they're adding a lot of...
Not a lot of detail to it, but,
right.
You know, maybe a heightened sense of awareness. Yeah.
32 minutes ago, a 911 call obtained by WRAL News details a caller's alarming description of a body found in the Cumberland County Pond in February. So I guess the new detail there is that there's a 911 audio that has been released.
Right.
So that's the, thank you, Brad, for that update. Gina, tell us about this Facebook page and the efforts by you and others in the community working with Clint's sister, Stephanie, and what you're doing.
So thank you first for having us and helping to keep Clint's name in the spotlight. It was recognized early on that the media was not picking up on the story. And so we appreciate that you are able to give Clint a voice in all this. So Stephanie created the Facebook page in order to keep Clint's name out in the spotlight, in order to give him a voice and to help fight for justice for Clint. You know, he went missing on January the 27th was the last date that anyone spoke to Clint, and here we are on March the 11th with no more answers than we had on January the 28th. And so the Facebook page was created in order to help just keep the public aware of what's going on with the situation.
And the page is Find Clint Bunnell. B-O-N-N, as in Nancy, E-double-L, Clint Bunnell. Find Clint Bunnell. There is also, you can go to GoFundMe and search his name there if you wish to make a donation toward the cause. This is really a perplexing situation because when you talk to, I've talked to Clint's sister, Stephanie, a couple of times, and I have added whatever I can to this story on my newsletter, which is the More Liberty Digest, which is opened by about 700 people every week here in Moore County. And in talking to her in the last interview, she said, basically, I believe that my brother Clint has encountered foul play and that something potentially really terrible has happened to him. And I want people to be aware that just because he is a veteran and a Green Beret, perceived to be more than capable of taking care of himself, of defending himself, that doesn't mean that his story is any less potentially tragic than when a child or a young woman goes missing. And I believe that stigma is part of the reason that maybe this Clint Bunnell story has not gained as much traction. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're thinking. The day before his disappearance, he was studying with his classmates at Methodist University for an exam that he had the next day. And so he was of sound mind. He had friends that could, you know, speak to his mental health and well-being. He was due to arrive at school the next day for his exam. There's no signs pointing to anything
but
foul play.
An ill-fated situation. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. So I think one of the one of your objectives in joining us today and as we go forward looking for answers is that the community do everything it can to reach out to, you know, friends and neighbors, just to make them aware, but also to hopefully try to engage elected officials, such as our congressman in Washington, D.C., Richard Hudson. If you go to the Facebook page that I mentioned, Find Clint Bunnell, there you will be able to find a form letter, which has been drafted, which you can tailor to your own needs and preferences, and you can send that out to Congressman Hudson's offices. He has an office in Southern Pines. He has one in Fayetteville. You can certainly, if you have friends in the law enforcement community, reach out to them. If you have friends or family members who are veterans, who may themselves be retired Green Berets, Special Forces, you can make sure that they know what's going on, and maybe they talk to somebody else, and the chain just starts to get longer and longer, and you never know where one conversation, what door it may open. Just real quickly before we move along, I wanted to share the local phone numbers for the offices of Congressman Richard Hudson. He is a member of the United States House of Representatives. He represents the 9th Congressional District, which includes Moore County. To reach him in Southern Pines, you dial 910, and then again, 910-1924. So it's area code 910, followed by 910-1924. To reach the Fayetteville office, it's 910-997-2070. And as I said, visit the Facebook page, Find Clint Bunnell, and or search his name at Give, Send, Go, and keep an eye out for updates from local media, although, as we've said, there are few and far between. Gina, what else would you like to share with our listeners before we wrap up?
I just think that, you know, here we are on March the 11th. There's no more answers than we had on January the 28th when he disappeared. There's not been a formal update from the Sheriff's Department. You have a small community in Grays Creek with a lot of questions. There's a missing man. There was a torso found in a pond. You have the Bunnell family with even bigger questions, and the sheriff has not offered a formal statement to anyone. The crime lab is backed up, and all the while the neighbors are reporting that there's there's fires going on in Clint's yard. We have tremendous respect for the law enforcement and what they're doing.
You're talking about debris burning fires, not wildfires, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yard waste and whatnot.
Right.
Okay.
We just feel like a simple statement from the sheriff's department would go a long way. Just some sort of formal statement.
Right.
Would go a long way for the community and the family.
Yes. And I do recall that the house where he resided was searched formally after the discovery of what we thought was a body, but instead is just part of a body. In the nearby pond. The pond is like 3 miles from the house, I believe.
Yes.
So pretty close proximity, certainly within the neighborhood boundaries. So, well, thank you for joining us today, Gina, and coming in. Let's keep awareness of this story top of mind and on everybody's radar. And I'll certainly do what I can. And again, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Yep. Thank you, Gina.
Thank you.
Our thoughts and prayers definitely go out to the entire family and everybody that is involved with this entire incident and case. And I think at the end of the day, what we all want is just some kind of closure, some kind of just information, all the way around on this whole scenario. So,
yeah. What happened, in other words?
Yeah. It's going to be kind of hard to segue out of that into the rest of this half hour, but I'm going to try my darndest to do it and kind of.
We started with promposal and managed to segue out of that, so anything is possible.
Right.
Are they really proposing for the prom in March?
Yeah.
When are the proms? Aren't they like in later in the spring?
May, early May. You got to remember, most schools finish up mid-May here. My daughter's school just started is starting their fourth quarter tomorrow. So school's almost over, people.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
It's getting close. It'll be here before you know it.
Anyway, do you have some crazy over there for us?
Well, I don't know about crazy, but our newly elected state auditor, Dave Bullock,
yes,
sat down with Carolina Journal the other day and did an interview where he was talking about what his plans are for auditing certain parts of the government locally, statewide. Here's what he had to say on that.
I think it's important for the purposes of public confidence in our elections to have an independent look at the way our elections are run, mm-hmm. with an eye toward, Board of Elections, ultimately they count votes,
sure.
Right? And they count legal votes. And that, I think, is what the general public wants and expects out of their Board of Elections. So I'm open to that. I'm also open to my own office, the state auditor's office, doing a deep dive at the Board of Elections just to get a look under the hood at how things are done. Speaking of that, and I'm doing that for myself.
Right.
We've undertaken an audit of the state auditor's office, both financial and performance. And as we complete that, I think the financial audit is almost ready to be released. We're going to release that to the public so that we're fully transparent with the public about what the state auditor's office does. And then we're underway now with a full performance audit of our own office, and we're going to release that to the public. I don't feel like, as the state auditor, it's necessarily fair for me to go audit other agencies without transparently auditing ourselves first. So.
Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Audit the auditor.
Makes tons of sense.
Dave Bullock is a beacon of hope in a sea of Democrat darkness, because as you recall in the November elections, Republicans did not fare well in the Council of State elections, governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, but we do have Dave Bullock as our state auditor, and believe me, that's no small position, and he can shine a lot of light on a lot of fraud, waste, and abuse, and I'm confident that he will.
Yeah. Hopefully we finally do have an auditor that will actually go through and look at all the arms of the government and see what, you know, we actually have going on here at the state level, make sure everything's on the up and up. And I think he'll do a fantastic job. He is one of only a handful of, like you said, Republicans that did get elected at the state level. So kudos to him, and hopefully, you know, transparency solves a lot of things.
It sure does.
Speaking of transparency, our very own Senator Tom Tillis,
oh yeah,
who is up for election, re-election coming up here in 2026, and has already formally made his announcement that he is going to run for re-election. He was caught in the halls of Congress just the other day, where he was asked about Arthur Schwartz's comments and why Tom Tillis kind of basically was about to stonewall Pete Hegseth from being confirmed
as defense secretary. And I think it's important to preface this soundbite with the fact that, you know, Tillis is going to run for re-election. There's been talk that a lot of conservative Republicans would delight in primarying him with a strong opponent, and there's also been discussion that if he makes it into the general election, he will face potentially perhaps even former Governor Roy Cooper, who just lapsed out of his long and grueling 8 years as our governor. But he's still out there floating around. When you hear this soundbite, you'll get the sense that Tillis is a little edgy, yeah, about his prospects. I think it's fair to say.
You had some concerns about Pete Hegseth. Those concerns seem to have been alleviated because you voted for him.
Yep.
You are still getting a lot of pushback, though, from some of the very same people who pressured you in those moments.
Well, if you're referring, who are you referring to?
Arthur Schwartz.
I've never spoken to Arthur Schwartz, but I will tell you his behavior behind the scenes is one of the reasons why I had to have heightened due diligence on Pete. And it was a disservice to Pete, because what I ultimately concluded, even with the last allegation, is there was not firsthand corroborated evidence, which is my standard for due diligence. But his behind-the-scenes behavior is part of the reason why I put Pete Hegseth's nomination in the balance. Thing is, anything that he represents in Congress, he better not have his fingerprints on it, because I'm a reflexive no to anything he represents. That's how badly I think he is for the president. This has to do with somebody who doesn't have the temperament to be anywhere around the political circles that guarantee that we come back into a majority next year. The president needs a majority to continue his agenda. Behavior by people like this guy is the thing that's the single greatest threat to us delivering a majority next year.
Thanks.
So for a little more context on that, Arthur Schwartz had posted something on X, basically paraphrasing, you know, to the effect that Tom Tillis should be looking at his future outside of Congress or outside of the Senate versus, you know, kind of looking at his future in the Senate. You know, you brought up, Steve, the fact that former Governor Roy Cooper could potentially be the person running up against the eventual Republican nominee for that Senate seat. And in a hypothetical scenario where it is Tom Tillis versus Roy Cooper, right now polling shows that Cooper would beat out Tillis. So this Arthur Schwartz,
for what that's worth.
Yeah, for what that's worth. But what that does is it brings back to this point of, and I've said this back in, you know, November, December, when I was on air after the elections, of we as a party need to continue to put up good quality candidates that are going to defeat the Democrats. You know, a lot of the Republican Party got behind Mark Robinson, and you see what that train wreck was there. When I fully feel like Dale Falwell would have been a much, much better person to run up against Josh Stein.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I would like to see Dale Falwell primary Tom Tillis for that seat, as a matter of fact.
Or former Congressman Dan Bishop would be another one on my short list.
Yeah, especially since he didn't get the attorney general spot.
But here's the well, that's true. He would have been a great attorney general, Dan Bishop. So Arthur Schwartz, just to close the loop on this, Schwartz was assigned by the Trump transition team to shepherd Pete Hegseth's nomination for defense secretary. He was sort of his wingman, and apparently Tillis did not like Schwartz's modus operandi, and so they apparently clashed, and now Tillis is trying to say that this Arthur Schwartz almost forced him to not confirm Hegseth, which is very twisted logic. So after the Tillis tweet, as part of the back and forth on X, Schwartz posted, "I have nothing against Tillis. I barely know him. He's a mediocre candidate with no connection to the Republican base in a critical swing state. If Republicans are serious about defending our Senate majority, we need to start looking for a replacement, and we need to start now." So, anyway, you can see how that, you know, for whatever reason, Tillis felt compelled to go running to his ex account and get involved in the tit for tat on that, and I don't think it's a great look, especially when there are more serious matters to discuss going on right now in the halls of the Senate and the House.
Yeah, especially with looming government shutdown, all these other things, not to mention the much needed aid still for Western North Carolina and the likes. Even Florida, California, all that that's been ravaged by
Absolutely.
All the natural disasters.
And,
so,
you know, we should be careful using that worn-out phrase, government shutdown, because as I've discussed on these airwaves many times, when the government shuts down, and it has from time to time, so-called, very little of substance actually shuts down.
Yeah.
In terms of payments for Medicaid, Social Security, none of that stuff shuts down.
Yeah, none of that stuff shuts down.
So this is just part of the media fear-mongering campaign, and would you look at the time?
By the sounds of the music that you're hearing, we've reached the end of our program for the day. I did get a recording of our interview here with Gina. I will have that posted up on our website at WEEB990.com if anybody wants to go back and listen to that, get some information if they missed it.
And share it.
And share it as well. All right. Well, from me, Steve Woodward, and everybody here at WEEB, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening today. We'll catch you again tomorrow for a Wacky Wednesday. Until then, have a great and safe day.
I come back, you'd better be laughing.
So, what have we learned? Heck, I don't know. But this is one crazy show. Bye now.
Cut, cut. That's it. Go home, everybody. None of this ever happened.
Well, y'all come back now, you hear?
I think we're through here.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, man. That's pretty much all I got, man.
Okay, class dismissed. Rock on!
Well, let me tell you something. Everything comes to an end.
Broadcasting from the top of the North Carolina Sandhills, 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB, Southern Pines, Pinehurst.
Jesus, this hour.